Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, let's sit down with friend of the podcast, Christy Wright, and take back the word balance. That's right, Christy is back, and I'm so excited that she was willing to come back and join us for coffee. Today, we're discussing her new book, Take Back Your Time. And we answer the question, how do we do it all? Well, we don't. That's exactly it. We don't do it all, but we can figure out what really matters to us. We can create a schedule. We can be present with our people, but we have to start by taking back our time. I think that this conversation with Christy is really going to encourage you, and her new book, Take Back Your Time, is out now. So grab it now and learn to take back your time. Let's stop doing things that don't matter to us, and let's do the things that do matter to us. Grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey guys, I'm back. We're back with another friend. Like, Christy, you're a friend now because you've been on twice, and that is not something that happens very often, but this is so much fun, and I'm just so excited. So Christy, right, thank you for joining us for coffee yet again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is so fun.
So fun. First, what's in your cup? Are you drinking anything during our time together for coffee?
Yes, this is the most cliche mom answer. It is cold coffee because, you know, Jeanette, like, I can't get a cup of coffee in my body without it getting cold. And so
Absolutely.
As soon as I'm done here, I will be heating it up in the microwave, typical mom style. I saw a coffee mug on Etsy like a year ago, and I told Matt to get it for me. And it says on the coffee mug, it says, if found in the microwave, please return to mom. Like, it's so true.
That's the worst, is when we forget it in the microwave. That's when I get like, that's when I'm like, oh, this is a waste.
Almost every day, I will put my coffee in the microwave to heat it up, and there's the coffee from the day before. I'm like, I'm hopeless. Yes. I'm never going to get through my coffee.
My best friend she has 5 kiddos, and she homeschools. And
oh,
same thing.
Her.
I mean, yes. First of all, like, bless. But she was not complaining. I don't mean to say she's complaining, but like, she never can drink a hot cup of coffee because she's, you know, running around.
Because of exactly
teaching.
What you just said. Yes.
And I bought her an Ember mug because
yes.
I
yes.
was like, I really need you to test this out to see if it's worth it for me to get.
Yes. Yes.
But she's loving it. She's says it's a game changer.
It really is. I got one for my husband years ago, and he just never used it. And so I stole it back. And I was like, I will actually make use of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like on the fence. Normally, if I buy her a gift, I'll buy me the same gift.
Right.
I don't
really
know if that's like good friendship or what.
I do that with my sister-in-law. Like, yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Like, we have the same style. So for Christmas, I buy us both these things.
Well, and it's like, well, one for you, one for, like, you're just,
that's right.
It's fine. And so she's like, what do you think of this mug? And I was like, I actually didn't buy myself one. I wanted to see your thoughts first. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she's been like giving me reports. I'm excited to see I love mugs. So it's kind of one of those things, like, it's a toss up. Like,
yeah, it is hard to change it up if you're used to a real mug. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Christy, we're talking about your new book, Take Back Your Time. I would love to hear just a little bit of like where this book came from. I'm guessing it's because you're a mom and you work full time and you write and you have seminary now going on too. So like, I'm assuming it's from that, but like, tell me your heart behind your book.
Yes. Well, it started a long time ago, but you're exactly right. Like, I'm still living it out every day. But so I have been a certified business coach, an author, speaker, all that for over 10 years. And so I've been helping women in business. My first book was Business Boutique. I still have a coaching group called The Academy. I still have our event every fall. But what was so weird, Jeanette, is in 10 years of doing this, coaching women in all stages of business, the number one question I was asked was never a business question. It was, how do you balance it all? How do you balance it all? How do you balance it all? So this was the number one pain point, and it wasn't even specific to business. And I thought, man, this is a major problem for people. And because I'm very entrepreneurial and I'm a problem solver, I naturally was interested in that because I was like, I want to help people with this thing that is a huge problem in their life. Well, fast forward to 6 years ago, and I had 3 kids in 5 years, and I felt that strain in my own life in a completely different way. I'd been busy before, but this was next level. Feeling pulled in multiple directions, feeling like your heart is in multiple places, and just almost being paralyzed by decisions, feeling weighed down by guilt. Like the guilt was just, it's at every corner, it feels like. And I think that that is so, what I have experienced is so common to so many people, not even just women. Men experience it also, not even just parents, people that aren't parents experience it. And so regardless of our age or stage of life or type of family, we all seem to have this major problem with time management, but it's less about time management. It's more about the guilt that nags at us and how we spend our time. And we call it balance. Oh, I just need more balance. But man, all the things we've tried to have more balance don't lead to more balance. And so it just made me really curious about this topic and want to research it to solve it, not only for myself, but to solve it for the people I've worked with for 10 years. So this work is a culmination of over a decade of researching and interest and curiosity and trying to live it out in my own life. So I'm super excited about it for that reason, because I think it's such a problem in our overconnected world.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that in my life, like I stepped away from our CrossFit gym probably 2 years ago, because I was like, I just don't have time anymore. So we'd work out at home or, you know, jump on the Peloton and like make do. And just this week, I told my husband, I was like, hey, I really want to get back into the gym. Like I miss CrossFitting. And he's like, okay, but like time management, like where are you going to fit it in? And it was like, I have to go first thing in the morning. Like if I'm going to get back into it, like I know it's going to be a commitment to go first thing in the morning because of everything else that stacks up during the day. And those are things that I can't move around all the time anymore. Like before it was kind of like leisurely days or kids were littler. And now it's like, I've got calls. I can't just like jump. And so it was that recognition of like, okay, this matters. And we're going to talk about that, like deciding what matters. This matters. So that means I have to sacrifice a little bit somewhere else. And so I love that we're talking about this now, because I'm like living this out on my own as well. But tell me what you think about balance, because for the last like 7 to 10 years, balance has been like a bad word. I feel like,
yes,
balance isn't real. Balance, like we'll never find true balance. And so I like that even on the front of your book, it's like, this is your guide to balance. And so I was like, ooh, we're taking the word back, Christy. I think we're taking it back.
I'm an Enneagram 8. So I'm like, I'm just going to go directly into conflict. That's my MO.
That's right. I like it.
Okay. So let's talk about that, because you make such a good point. People are angry about it. They've got eye rolls. They've got groans. They've got balance is BS, all that stuff. And yet it's the number one question I'm asked. So as much as we may hate this word, we can't stop talking about it. We can't stop researching it. We can't stop craving it. So there's something going on in us around this word. And that's the reason I wanted to call it that. Because I was like, even if we're pissed about it, we still keep asking about it. And so I'm not going to call it something else. I'm going to call it that thing that you keep talking about. And so let's talk about this word. I think that we have had some misconceptions about this word in the past. We naturally think of a scale. We think of an evenly weighted scale, 50% of our time at work, 50% of our time at home. And we know that is not realistic. It's not even desirable. And it's not even relevant in the world we live in, where we have a lot going on that often blends into other parts of our life. So that's the first thing that I think we've got wrong. It's an old school mentality of the 50-50 split, which is not realistic. It's not what we even want. And oh, by the way, it's not, I'll talk about this more in a minute, but we can even create that and still feel out of balance. Okay. So that's not even what we're going for. The second thing I think that is a myth around it is we have this pressure, this, I don't know, implied message that it is doing everything for an equal amount of time. Well, I've got to have, you know, an hour working out, an hour with my husband, an hour with my kids, an hour working on goals, an hour by myself, and, you know, an hour with God, all this stuff. That's not realistic either. Not even a little bit realistic.
Yeah.
And again, we can do that, and it doesn't necessarily lead to the feelings that we're craving. And we've got all the analogies. Oh, Jeanette, all the analogies. Juggling balls, spinning plates, walking the tightrope. Yeah. Which balls are rubber? Which balls are glass? Which balls can you let drop on a Tuesday? We've got all the analogies. And you think about that. Oh, that sounds stressful. Have you ever seen a tightrope walker? Like, they're tense. That does not look fun. So, again, we can do all that. Juggle all the balls, spin all the plates, walk the tightrope, and still feel out of balance. And then we come up with these alternatives because we hate the word balance, right? We hate the word. So we just come up with these alternatives. So you see, like, you'll read blogs like, it's not work-life balance, it's work-life harmony. It's not work-life balance, it's work-life integration. It's not work-life balance, it's work-life rhythms. I'm like, that is beautiful. That did not help me manage my Tuesday. Like, I need tactical, tactical specific steps. And so because we don't know what balance is, we're just sure we don't have it. And it has become this shadow that haunts us. I wanted to define it, redefine it, and give you tactical steps to achieve it so that it's no longer haunting you that you're always failing. And instead, it puts the power and the ball back in your court to create your version of balance, which, by the way, is the only version of balance that should matter anyway. So I take this, I take all these myths around it, and I say, here's the true version of balance. Here's the true definition of balance. Balance is doing the right things at the right time. It's not doing everything for an equal amount of time. It's about doing the right things at the right time. But here's the great news. When you do that, when you do the right things at the right time, you will actually feel that sense of balance you've been looking for. And it turns out it looks more like peace, even if your world is chaotic. It looks like being confident in your choices when you say yes to this thing or no to that thing. It looks like, for maybe the first time in your life, being proud of how you spend your time. Mm-hmm. And it looks like enjoying your life. I think that when we say we want balance, that's what we're really after. We want peace, confidence. We want to be proud of our time and enjoy our life. And the good news is, when you do the right things at the right time, you will feel that. And that's what I want to help people achieve in this book.
I love that. And I think that you're 100% right, because we are constantly all checking and searching for this idea of, well, this worked for her, so this has to work for me. And, well, I already let those balls drop, so I guess I'll just take a nap today. And so, like, we're just, like, we either, like, are striving for somebody else's idea of this, or we're just quitting. And none of that is bringing us peace.
Yeah. Well, and we are all created so uniquely that we will never figure out what we're supposed to do with our lives and our time by looking to the right or to the left. Certainly there are good principles, and I teach the principles in this book, but I don't tell you what should matter to you, but I ask you questions to help you figure that out for yourself. Because someone that is an Olympian, we had the Olympics this summer, an Olympian training for 60 hours a week, that's balanced to them because that's right for them. They're doing the right things at the right time. That is not for me, or probably for you, Jeanette, but that's right for them. Whereas a woman that just had her first baby and she's got a newborn, she's just trying to get a little bit of sleep. She's taking maybe a shower a week, and her house is probably a mess. She's trying to adapt to motherhood, probably letting everything else go. Well, that's balance in that season for her. So when we look to other people doing other things, we won't necessarily figure out what we're supposed to do, because we need to create our version of balance in our season of life that reflects our values and what matters to us. And the only way to do that is by asking ourselves what matters most, what's right now, and reflecting. And certainly I'm a person of faith, so prayer, I think, is a piece of it if you're a person of faith. But getting alone and quiet to ask yourself, truly ask yourself, what matters? What's right now? That's how you figure out what you need to be doing, instead of just reacting to the world's demands of you, which most of us do more often than not.
Yeah. How often do you suggest we, like, evaluate what matters to us? Because that's a big part, deciding what's going to matter, because the next, like, thing is deciding what doesn't matter. So how often do you recognize that you're actually, like, sifting through what really matters in that season?
Yes, I love this question. So I give you three time frames in the book to assess what's right now. And they all get more specific as you go. But then there's kind of this also situation that we'll talk about in a minute. But let's go through the three. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to consider what matters to you in relation to your season. Now, your season could be a few months. It might be a little less, a little bit more. But typically, there's a seasonality to our life. So if you're in a season of little kids, that's going to look different than if you're in a season of teenagers, or you're an empty nester, or you don't have kids.
Yeah.
If you're in a season of a health diagnosis, let's talk about something extreme, possibly, like you've been diagnosed with cancer, you're going through chemo. That has a massive effect on how you spend your time and what your version of balance is. It looks like your marriage is struggling and you really need to be in counseling and focus on restoring and repairing your marriage. Well, that's going to affect what things make it on your calendar, which ones don't, and what your priorities are. And so when I talk about priorities in the book, I teach that, yes, we all have a fixed set of priorities, like what matters most if hell breaks loose. Thankfully, we don't live in a world where hell's breaking loose all the time. So the rest of the time, we need to set a flexible priorities that reflect our season. So this is more specific. It's more current. It's more relevant to the season we're in. I'll give you an example. In the spring, I sat down and wrote my priorities. What do I want this season to look like? What do I want to focus on this spring? And one of the things I wrote down is that I wanted to get my boys to swim. They're 4 and 6. They were developmentally able to learn to swim, and we hadn't been able to with COVID last year with false starts with some lessons. So I then made decisions about my calendar and how I spent my time in alignment with that priority of getting my kids to swim. Well, that's a very specific type of priority. So that reflected my season, the season of my kids' ages, the season of the year. Summer was coming up. So you need priorities for your season. The second time frame to think about is your week. So every Sunday night, and you can do this whenever, but Sunday night is when my husband and I do it. My husband and I connect on the week ahead. What have you got going on? For example, I'm working late tonight, so I need to make sure he's going to be on home on time to let our nanny go. We've got all the pickups arranged because I'm working late. So you look at the week ahead and say, okay, what matters most this week? Maybe it's an exact replica of what matters in your season, or maybe this week's a little different, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And then even within that, there's one more time frame, and that is per day. And so at the beginning of each day, you just start your day, and it's a quick check-in. This is not a 30-minute process. This is like a quick check-in, 2 minutes, and go, hey, what matters most today? What's right now? Because if we're not careful, when our season changes or when the weeks change or even when the days change throughout the week, we set some priorities on Sunday, but by Thursday, things have changed. If we don't adapt when things change, then we hold our feet to the fire for what was true 3 days ago or 3 months ago. And we put this pressure on ourselves when things have changed. And so that's kind of the caveat to all of this. You can do it by season, by week, and by day. But the reality is when things change, things need to change. So if you had priorities for a season and then all of a sudden something gets turned upside down in your world with your health, with your kids, with your spouse, with your work, it's time to reassess and go, oh, I thought this season was going to look like this, or I thought this week was going to look like this, but now things have changed. So now that it's changed, now, in light of that, what's right now? Mm-hmm. And so it just gives you this permission to adapt when things change and to change your mind, change your plans, change your priorities, and you should. And then the great news is, as you do that, you'll always be doing the right thing at the right time.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Many people today are struggling with unprecedented levels of anxiety, hurt, shame, addictions, and more. Yet all these struggles aren't random. There are signals that, when answered, can pave the way towards a thriving life. That's why Ben Bennett and Josh McDowell wrote their new book, Free to Thrive. In it, you'll find hope as they share their stories of healing from trauma and abuse, years of wrestling with mental health issues, and overcoming unwanted behaviors. Through biblical truths, research from neuroscience, and practical tools, you'll discover a proven path to overcome what holds you back and become free to thrive. No matter your struggle, God has more for you. Get your copy of Free to Thrive today wherever books are sold, or go to freetothrivebook.com. Do you have like a telltale sign of like when things aren't working, or when things have changed and you haven't recognized it yet, where you're like trying to fit something in where you're like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is it. This is right. And it's like, obviously the season's changed, but you've held on a little too long. Like, do you have a tell about that, or like anything?
Yeah. Pressure. Like my chest actually gets tight. If I'm walking around and my shoulders are up touching my earrings, and my chest is so tight, I feel like I can't breathe, or my heart is racing and I don't have any immediate threat. And I'm going, I don't know why I feel this way. It's typically because there's some pressure I'm feeling, or some pressure I'm putting on myself or allowing to be put on myself that isn't right for me. That tension, and I love how you asked this, Jeanette. I haven't talked about this on any interview, but that anxiety, that tension, when your body is telling you something is off, is a sign that you are feeling unnecessary, undue pressure. And so it's a great practice to begin to follow the trail. Okay, where is this coming from? What is making me feel this way? Follow the trail. And when you get to the source, fix it if you can. So when we're trying to hold our feet to the fire of some expectation or standard that's not right for us anymore, and we get to the root of it, here's what happens. If we cancel it, solve it, delete it, find someone else to do it, whatever the thing is to get rid of that pressure, our shoulders relax. When you feel a sense of relief after a decision you've made, even if that decision is hard, you almost always know it was the right decision.
Yeah.
Because a good thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So often we look around and go, oh, well, that's good. Well, that's fun. Well, my friends are doing it. Well, I want to do it. That's not the question we need to be asking. We need to be asking what's right now. Mm-hmm. Because you can fill your life with a lot of good things that are at the wrong time that make you feel that pressure. Your chest is tight and you don't know why you're anxious. It's because you're trying to do things that are simply not right now. There are things I want to do that are not right now, Jeanette. I want to go to Europe. I want to get a dog. That's not right now. If I tried to do it, it would stress me out to the max. I want to do it. Someday I want to do it. Someday that sounds right and fun for me, but not today. And if we don't consider what's right now, all of these good things are going to turn into sources of anxiety. And the great news is we're in control of that. Mm-hmm. We can stop those things, change those plans, change those priorities. But I love that question. Pay attention to your body. When you feel a tight chest and tense shoulders, follow the trail to the source. And if you can solve it, some we can't, we know that. But if you can solve it, solve it. And maybe you get to the source and the source is something you can't solve, but you can let the pressure off somewhere else. Like, hey, I'm feeling super stressed about my kids. So I'm going to take the pressure off myself over here to alleviate some of it. But it's amazing how much of it is in our control if we would just pay attention to what's going on. I love that you asked that. That's a great question.
Thank you. I was just thinking about that. And even as you're saying that, sometimes those pressures are expectations like that we have placed on ourselves. Like,
yes.
Like being a mom or the pressure of motherhood and all of the things that we stack onto it. It's oftentimes it's just that pressure of showing up or being perfect or doing all the things. And sometimes it's like, it's actually not the season that we're in right now. So we have to scale back and we have to assess and like the expectations that others put on us too. Like we have to like shake off expectations. I feel like.
Well, and you make a good point because let's talk specifically about the pressure we put on ourselves. One simple question you can ask yourself in order to get to the root of if that pressure is something you really need to do or not is this, why am I doing it? Why am I doing it? If I feel pressure to have my kids look perfect for Christmas church in matching outfits, why am I doing it? Well, I'm doing it because I want people to think I'm a good mom. My kids sure don't want to wear those outfits. My husband could not care less. And really the people at church probably don't care either. It is all about me and projecting some image that I am a good mom. When you get to the root of why we do what we do, it's a moment of like it's a moment with yourself of going, I need to let go of that. I need to be confident enough in myself to know that I can show up to church in kids in mismatched clothes with their shirt untucked and know that I'm a good mom because I'm a good mom. I'm a good mom because of my track record of 6 years, not because of what their shirt is on a Sunday for Christmas church. And man, I talk about that. You know this from reading the book, but I talk about that a lot in the book of getting to the root of our motivations of why we do what we do. Because again, we're more in control than we think we are. And some of that pressure is not only unnecessary, it's pressure we put on ourselves from misguided motivations. And we need to fix that.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to talk about and everything that we do here is Time for Coffee is friendship based. And I feel like friendship is one of the first things that we take off of our plates or our schedules or anything because life is too busy. And I feel like that's wrong. We need our friendships. And so what is a way that we can figure out how friendships matter to us and work them into our schedule and our routine and find balance within those things as well?
Okay, I'm just thinking of something as you're asking this. And again, I haven't talked about this on any of my interviews. So I love how all these conversations are so different because different stuff is coming out that's not even in the book. Okay, so I think there are two common scenarios. Okay, one scenario, and let's just talk about it in relation of seasons.
Yeah.
One scenario is you're in a somewhat normal season. It's just normal. It's not necessarily easy, but it's pretty predictable schedules. Nothing is crazy in your world. It's pretty normal, okay? In that season, you can probably fit 5 to 7 things above the line in terms of priorities that you make on your calendar. Okay, let's just say I'm making this up as a rule of thumb, 5 to 7 things. You've got 10 things that are important to you. Probably you can get 5 to 7 above the line in a normal season. So in the summer, my house was mostly clean. I spent time with friends. I worked out regularly. I had fun with my family. I got my work done. I mean, I can list off the things that made it above the line. It was probably 5 or 7. When you are in a season of something extreme, So that would be a health diagnosis, a family member that's struggling. In my situation right now, launching a book, because you have something that is so consuming from your time and energy and attention, much fewer things make it above the line because that one is taking up so much. So when that happens, more things are going to bump below the line. So do I like a clean house and working out and time with friends? In a normal world, yes, they're not making the cut right now. Right. They're just not. So I work out maybe once a week, maybe. I see my friends maybe once a month, maybe. And I'm going to make it to the big things. I was just a bridesmaid in a wedding last weekend. Yeah. That was the big thing. I gave up the whole weekend. Probably won't see my girlfriends for a while. That was all in for that weekend. So I'm going to make it for the most important things. But and the house isn't super clean. So things that are a priority in a normal season, when you are in an extreme season of some sort, whether it's with your health, your work, your kids, whatever, less from a practical standpoint, because our time is finite, less makes it above the line. And I think the mistake that we make is that we think these things that are important to us in a normal season should always make the cut. And when they don't, because they can't, because our time is finite, we have this consuming thing going on. We feel that guilt for not keeping up with the house, our friendships, our health, our fitness, whatever. And the truth is, we're not considering that consuming thing. And that consuming thing has to be considered in order for you to give grace for yourself. And so, Jeanette, to your point, like, I'm launching a book. I'm in seminary. I have 3 kids under age 5. When I step over toys because my house isn't as clean as I want, I'm not going to beat myself up for that. I'm going to say, Christy, you're reading 300 pages a week in a textbook. You're launching a book. That's not right now. It's right sometimes. And when we have time for that, that is right. In a normal season, that's right. It was right last summer. It's not right now. And so give yourself the discernment to let some things fall below the line and the grace for yourself when they do, because when things need to change. And so really consider, especially for people going through what I would call an extreme season. I've never called it that any other time, but an extreme season where you have something so consuming, less is going to make it above the line, and that's okay. Our time is finite, and you just have to have grace for yourself in those seasons, knowing this season won't last forever. You'll come back around. You'll catch up with friends. They'll still be there. You'll work out again. But right now, you need to take care of what matters most.
Yeah, I think that's so good. So this is the other question. It's because we both have friends who launch books and friends who are doing similar things in our industry. How are you a good friend to them when they're in extreme seasons? Like maybe like your extreme seasons don't match up. So obviously, like, if you're in a more normal season and they're in an extreme season, I think it's like as simple as like, hey, I'm just really praying for you. Is there anything specific I can pray for you? Or here's a cup of coffee. I just am dropping it off and running. What about you? What do you think? How do you be a good friend with friends within extreme seasons?
I love that question. One of the things I think is so key for people is how you ask the question. So don't say, do you need anything? Because they will always say no.
Yeah.
Instead say, I'm going to be in your neighborhood today, so I'm going to swing by. Can I bring you what's your order from Starbucks? It's an assumption that you're bringing the coffee so they can either choose what the order is or not.
Right.
And they will text back, oh, you don't have to do that, blah, 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 here we go. But it's this aggressive assumption. It's almost like the assumptive close in sales where it's like, hey, I'm swinging by. I'm going by Starbucks. What's your order? I'm going to bring you something. And it's that aggressiveness, aggressive friendship. I'm a very aggressive friend, Jeanette. But so like
you have to be sometimes.
You do. And then you're able to show up in the way that you want to that would bless them, because we're all just so dang self-sufficient. We are incapable of asking for help. We don't want to be vulnerable, whatever. So that's one simple way. The other thing that I think is key is knowing what matters to them. Knowing what's really important to them. Let me give you an example. My good friend, Rachel Cruz, she's Dave Ramsey's daughter. We're really good friends. Because I know her, I know the types of things she cares about and the types of things she doesn't. So she values sitting on the couch, having a glass of wine, and just talking. Like, she just loves that connection. We could talk for hours. If I don't text her on her birthday, she could not care less. She doesn't even know anybody's birthday. She doesn't care about birthdays. So because I know her, I'm not going to go all out to come up with some big extreme surprise birthday something, because she doesn't care. She genuinely does not care. She doesn't know anyone else's birthdays and doesn't really care about her own. But I am going to say, hey, how about a play date on Thursday? Let's have the kids play and let's just sit and catch up.
Yeah.
And so I think when you know your friend, you know what they value, and you can be there for them in those ways that communicate love to them. Because I think when we're all different, we need to know what matters to each person. So those are a couple practical things. The other thing is, I think, serve your friends out of your abundance, not out of your not out of your exhaustion. Yeah. So if you're exhausted and you've already fit in all the things above the line that you can, don't let ideas that pop in your head, oh, I should bake homemade cookies and bring them to my friend, this idea that you could do, turn into an obligation that you should do, and then you're up till midnight baking cookies and your friend doesn't even know or care because you don't have the capacity. So when you prioritize that and you're serving out of abundance, it's joy for you and joy for them. So many women, we do things out of resentment and exhaustion. Yeah. So just be aware of what you're serving from and serve from a place of abundance, not guilt or obligation or exhaustion.
That's so good. It's so true. We just can't should on that. Like, we can't should on ourselves to say like, well, I should do this for them. And it's like, okay, well, maybe next week when you have more time, like, you can.
Right. And it starts as an idea. We women, we have a million ideas a day. It's like, oh, you know what I could do? I could make homemade cookies for the whole neighborhood. Yeah, that'd be fun. And it, without realizing it, it turns into a should. I should bake cookies. I've got to get the ingredients. No, I can't do that. I've got to get the ingredients. And it's like, who made that up? You did. That was your idea. You decided to do it, so you can just decide not to do it. And man, women would be set free if they would just decide not to do the crap that they just decided to do. Just decide not to. You have the key. You can do that.
Absolutely. I really want to hear your thoughts on just saying no. Like,
how many thoughts, Jeanette? Because how long do you have? I have so many thoughts.
I am the person who's like, yeah, I can do that.
Right.
And my husband's like, when? How?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to
Details.
Myself. Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
So real quick, thoughts on no. How do we say no better? How do we say no?
Practice. Mm-hmm. Practice. It's a muscle. If you've never said no and your default is yes, my default is yes, just like you. Yes, I want to do it. Yes, I'll be there and there and there. And it all sounds fun. And yes, I'll do it. It just takes practice. Let me give you two tactical things you can do. Number one, if you are a yes person, not even necessarily a people pleaser, it sounds fun to you. You want to do all the things. I get it. Change your answer from yes to let me think about it. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not saying no. You're just giving yourself time to think. What a concept. If we would think before we make decisions, if you just buy yourself some time, very rarely does someone need an answer on the spot. We just feel pressure to, unspoken pressure to. So change your default answer from yes to let me think about it. And then think about it. Maybe ask your spouse about it. If you're married, they can be a great sounding board for you to help you think through if that's a good idea, if it's a priority, if it's important to you. In my new book, Take Back Your Time, I actually give you 8 different questions to ask yourself before you make a decision. Now, you don't need to ask yourself all 8. That's a very long list. But if you're having a hard time while you're thinking about it, maybe pick 1 or 2 of these to go, hey, well, let me put it through this filter just to come up with a better answer. So that's one thing you could do is just change your answer to let me think about it and then give yourself a minute, a day, a week to think before you commit. This second thing is to practice. And so let's say that you come up with no, but it still feels hard. Script in advance how you'll say no. And this allows you to write out your answer in a way that's true to your personality style, that's very kind, very loving. Mm-hmm. It's not mean. It's not aggressive. It's not negative. And then you practice. You literally practice in front of the mirror or your dog or your husband or whatever. And then when that person asks you or that next situation comes up, you don't feel so put on the spot. You don't fumble through your words, acting all awkward and uncomfortable. You're able to literally recite the lines. And it's not inauthentic. It's what you wrote from your heart when you wrote it, but it just helps you strengthen this muscle when you're out of practice of doing it. So I'll give you an example. This is how my husband says no to me. He never actually says the word. He says, wow, babe, that's such a great idea. I don't think now's the time to add that to our schedule, but I love how creative you are. That was so nice. He never even said the word. Yeah. But the answer is the same. The answer is no. And so you can write it and script it and practice it in a way that's true to you. But I just want to remind people, regardless of your personality style, regardless if you're a people pleaser or not, regardless of your Enneagram, an honest no is always better than a dishonest yes. So this is something we have to get good at practicing, not only for our own integrity, but for our reputation and relationships with others to mean what we say and say what we mean.
Yeah, I think my go-to lately has been, man, I think that's awesome. I just know that right now, any yes I say outside of my house is a no to my family, and I really can't be saying no to my family right now.
Yeah,
And that's just been really good. It's helpful to me.
Yeah, I got asked to speak at something on December 1st. This was several months ago, and it was a great conversation. And you could tell she wanted me to think about it, like for there to be a chance that I would do it. And I just said on the phone, I was so nice, but I was like, this is book season for me. So I'm not taking any more commitments. I was like, I can tell you in advance, I'm not going to be able to do that, but I'd love to support you in a different way. And she goes, oh, wow. You just told me. I go, yep.
Yeah. Oh, you just said no. Okay.
Yeah. She was like, you just did it, didn't you? I was like, sure did. But here's what's cool, Jeanette. When we do this with each other, it sets other people free to do it as well. It's a powerful That's right. example. It's so empowering. And so, yeah, it's a great thing to practice.
That's so good. I love that we talked about seasons so much, and you've been on the show before. So, you know, I'm going to ask you, what is it time for in your own life right now? Like, what season are you in?
So A1 is book.
Yes.
Second,
launching
the book is number one. The second is, my kids, obviously, because that makes it above the line. From there, though, and you mentioned this, that I'm in seminary. I'll be honest, this seminary experience, I have one more paper due, and then I'm wrapping up my first class. I'll start my next class in a few weeks. It has been a walk of faith, because I don't feel like I have the capacity. I didn't feel like it when I applied to this school. I didn't feel like it before the first week. I didn't feel like it on the third week, and I still don't feel like it. But somehow, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that I'm truly trusting God. So there's the tactical of I'm going to manage my time and be a good steward. But there's also like it still feels like there's a gap between what I'm capable of and what I'm required to do. And God is just in his grace helping me fill that gap. And week to week, I don't know how I'm doing it, and I'm doing it. And so I would just encourage people, if God is calling you to something, listen to him. You can walk by faith. Yes, you want to be a good steward and be intentional, and I'll show you how to do that. But it's not either or, it's both and. We're going to work like it all depends on us and pray like it all depends on God. But now is apparently the time for me to be in seminary, even though it doesn't feel like it. Yeah. And it feels impractical and ridiculous just as much today as it did 10 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm really trusting God with that. And so that's been an interesting journey. When I'm in the middle of teaching something so tactical like time management, I'm actually walking by faith in a major area of my life. And it hasn't gotten easier. I'm still walking by faith on week 10. And I feel like God's just teaching me something about that in this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that, because we can have all the head knowledge that we can get, right? Like, we can learn all of these steps, but without faith, our works are dead. Yeah. And so here you are, very, very really walking in faith, saying like, okay, God, like, you call me to this and I'll follow you. But like, really, this is really right. stretching me. And he's like, okay. Yeah. So
even when it was time to register for the second class, because they're quarter, so it's 10 weeks. Yeah. So I'm wrapping up my first quarter. I started backsliding. Like, I started being like, well, I don't really need to do one next quarter. I'm just going to take a quarter off, and then I'll do the next quarter. And like, it's book launch. Like, that's crazy. Like, let me just take this quarter off. And the moment my mind started going there, I started getting affirmation after affirmation that I'm supposed to stay in it. God was like, don't you? No. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you to go here or there. We're still on the same track. And you're going to walk by faith in this next quarter, just like you did in this quarter. And so I just think, you know, if you're a believer seeking God for what he has for you, he will show you. He will show you. But it's up to you to be obedient. It's my choice on whether or not I obey. And so I'm just one day, one week at a time, trying to obey, even though it still feels impractical.
Yeah. Man, Chrissy, thank you so much for having coffee with us. Thank you for taking balance back and showing us what it can and will mean in our lives. Thank you for writing this book, and your devotional that you were on before really just talks about who we are. And so I think if we know who we are, whose we are, then we can really take this next step of like balancing our time and our families well, so that we can pursue what God's got for us.
Yes. Well, thank you. I certainly hope they go together well. And I'm so grateful for what you do, Jeanette. Thank you for having me.
I would love to hear your thoughts on today's conversation. What did you think about Chrissy's heart on taking the word balance back? And I would really love to know what you're up to while you're listening. So stop right here, take a quick screenshot of the podcast or a picture of what's surrounding you, and post it on social media. I really want to know what you're doing. So you can hashtag It's Time for Coffee, or you can tag me. It's just always fun to see what you're doing and what I'm getting to join you in while we're having coffee together. Be sure to thank Chrissy for spending time with us today, and let her know how the episode spoke to you. You can find her on Instagram at Chrissy Wright. Okay, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.